Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Friday, August 27th, 2021. This is edition number 67 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Evansville, Indiana. If you'd like to find out more information about Providence Church, you can go to our website. It's Providence Church EVV. That's Edward Victor Victor .com. It's great to have you here with me as we continue working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We're going to pray first, and then we're going to look at question number 61 this morning. Father, now as we come to your word, we pray that you bless our labors, our time, knowing that you never reveal the deep truths of your word to lazy people. And so we pray that we would be diligent, that we would mine those glorious truths that are contained within your word, knowing that it's given to us, that we might know the mind of our God and know how to live before him. Be gracious to us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. We have been considering the exposition, at least as given by the Shorter Catechism, of the Fourth Commandment. Today we come, we come to question number 61. What is forbidden in the Fourth Commandment? The answer is the Fourth Commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. Now, this question, of course, is contrasted with question number 58, which highlights for us what is required. And now we have question 61, what is forbidden in this commandment. There are a number of items here to highlight just very briefly, given our time restraints. But we note first that the fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, those duties that are given to us in question number 58. And then we have this expression, and profaning the day by idleness. This is to say that the Lord's Day is not a day in which we just kind of camp out and do absolutely nothing. This is not to say that taking a nap on the Sabbath is a sin or violates the fourth commandment in any way. There are times for that, and there are often times that it's needful if you have small children in the home. Undoubtedly, you're going to put them down for naps so that they might be ready and prepared for evening worship. This is to say that we are not to just give our hands to doing nothing on the Lord's Day. The day has been sanctified, set apart, that we might use it for holy purposes and use it for the in ways that the day is designed. And we talked about those ways and works of necessity and mercy from question number 60. And of course, it goes on to say, or doing that which is in itself sinful. Well, obviously, doing anything that is sinful is forbidden, not just on the Lord's Day, but in all days of the week. And then it goes on, pressing us even further by the last phrase of the answer, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. I apologize, I have very bad allergies, and it's just one of those days. But anyway, unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. I'm going to look at Nehemiah chapter 13. We looked at this briefly the other day. But here, Nehemiah, who is, giving counsel. He is seeking to be obedient to God's law in beginning with verse 15, we read there, in those days I saw Judah people treading treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day when they sold food. Tyrians also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah and Jerusalem itself. And I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers act in this way, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel." As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. And the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. But I warned them and said to them, "Why do you lodge outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you." From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come and guard the gates to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember this also in my favor, O my God, and spare me according to the greatness of your steadfast love. What is being highlighted here, of course, is that last phrase that we have already read. Unnecessary thoughts, words, or works, particularly works here. That this is what is mostly highlighted in this passage in Nehemiah 13. But these things are not needful, they're not necessary, and Nehemiah seeking to be obedient to God and his commands enacts rules to prevent it from being violated. But it's not just works that are not works of necessity or works of mercy. It's not just works that that are forbidden on the Sabbath. We read in from Isaiah 58 the other day, we're going to read again Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And so it's quite clear that God was very jealous for the fourth commandment, as he is for all of his commandments. The people of Israel had been breaking it, had not been honoring it, had not been keeping it. They've been trampling underfoot the very purpose of the day as a day of worship, a day to come apart from the world, to look different from the world as we gather in corporate worship, as we gather in private worship in our homes, as we engage in Christian fellowship, as we engage of works of necessity and mercy to serve one another. It is obvious that the people had been breaking it, and we do today. We won't look really any different than these people, yet we are slow to learn how much he regards the fourth commandment and how much he will bless those who seek to honor it and keep it. And we certainly want blessing. But we note here in the answer to the question, unnecessary thoughts, words, or works, talking idly, there at the end of verse 13. One of the things that's most troubling to me as a pastor, and I suspect that most pastors have this same thought from time to time, and that is you labor in the Word each week, seeking to prepare a meal, a sermon for the people of God, knowing that God blesses that ordinary and primary means of grace into the hearts and minds of people. And that is without question, nor is it disputable. But what's disturbing oftentimes is that after the sermon is over, the benediction is pronounced, that people begin to talk about everything else, except what they've just heard from their Savior, not the pastor, but the living voice of Christ speaking to them. They don't talk with it with their neighbor in the pew. They don't discuss it any further than what they've just listened to. They become, unfortunately, like what James warns about beholding their face in a mirror, and then they leave and forget what they look like. They're hearers of the word and not doers of it as well. One of the means and one of the ways in which the Word of God is cemented in our minds and our hearts is that we don't just listen to it with diligence, which we should be doing, but we also have conversations with our husbands, our wives, our children, other brothers and sisters in the church in relationship to what they've heard on the Lord's Day. We are not to talk idly about our sporting events, our jobs, our worldly employments, our hobbies, our recreations. And I understand the temptation. I know that I oftentimes ask people in the church how work is going, how their week went. I'm not sure why we feel so uncomfortable with engaging our brothers and sisters on spiritual matters on the Lord's Day. We are gathered there together. It's probably the only time of the week we see each other. Why do we not utilize the day, the purpose of the day, to encourage and strengthen our brothers and sisters in the Lord? And I'm guilty of this like anybody else, but something we need to think more carefully about as it pertains to our fellowship with each other within the confines of the church. So we should speak about the sermon. We should speak about one another's walk with the Savior. What are you reading in the Word? What are you learning? Is there anything I can pray for? And there's a host of things to ask. There's a host of things to talk about. We have a whole Bible we can discuss. God is honored when we do that. Just talking idly and about things that are really of no consequence in life. Many of you know me, know that I enjoy sports, and particularly baseball. And, well, frankly, it has no consequence on eternity. 1 million years from now, nobody's going to care who won the World Series. Nobody. We need to utilize the day for the purpose in which it was given, that we don't do our own pleasures. But our pleasure should be our pleasures should delight in the things that God delights in. And that is to uphold this day and to honor it as He has commanded us. We are to come apart. And it's difficult to come apart from our worldly employments and recreations when we're constantly discussing it. My friends, talk about the sermon with each other. Step out of your comfort zone. I realize that it's a comfort zone. Brainstorm ahead of time. Think about ways in which you can engage somebody in the church on the walk with the Lord. Purpose to do that on Saturday night. Pick a person or two and make effort to encourage them in the Lord on the day in which you're together, in the day in which God has appointed for these kinds of things. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to leave me a note to comment. That information, the ability to do that, the way to do that is there before you on the screen. And so until Monday, when we look at question number 62 and its importance, the reasons annexed or connected to the fourth commandment, may the Lord bless you this weekend. May He find you in worship, public worship with God's people, maybe reflecting upon the purpose and use of the fourth commandment as we have discussed over the last few days. May He honor you as you seek to honor Him. God bless.